go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We have a knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
You're cool.
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello out there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude, a podcast for all things nerd. I'm your host tonight. I'm here with
Sam.
And on the Skype hotline, we've got
John.
And as you all notice, we are missing Chris today. Sam, where is Chris?
He is currently running the Iditarod as one of the dogs.
Oh, well, ooh. Good job, Chris. Be safe. It gets mighty cold up there.
Yeah.
So, good luck.
Yeah, we all wish you good luck.
So, on tonight's show...
Hold on. If we could just be serious for a minute here...
Oh, boy.
Just it's time out kind of from... talk about the real things in life.
Okay.
Sean, absolutely big weekend in your life this last weekend.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm talking about the premiere of Jurassic World Battle of Whatever Park or whatever the... The short film
Rock
was?
Ridge? I don't know.
I believe it's like Big Rock.
Yeah, I believe
Big Rock.
Yeah. That did come out this weekend. Very surprised.
Came almost out of nowhere. Put off your wedding.
It did. Yeah. It did. I was very, very tempted to call it off. Many things happening this weekend between Jurassic World dropping this short and The Who playing up in Fenway, both of which almost ended a marriage that hadn't happened yet, but everything prevailed. Everything was fine.
You know, they say once you get past the Jurassic Park short, then you can get into the honeymoon.
Clear sailing.
Yeah. But is that Jurassic Park short that's always difficult?
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to jump right into this because, hell, that's all we're talking about.
It's the battle.
So, yes. So... All of a sudden, was it on the 16th, which was actually Monday?
Sunday night, I think.
Or Sunday night?
So this was on TV. This was on, like, FX or Universal or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprised I didn't hear anything about this.
Yeah, weirdly, seemingly, like, under-marketed, although I don't know what you would really market out of a 8-minute short film. Well, Jurassic World, as we know, released, what was that, 2015? Or I don't know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Directed by Colin Trevorrow, who then briefly was going to direct a Star Wars movie, and that did not happen. But he has returned to the series, although I guess he did have a writing credit on
Fallen Kingdom.
Would that be just for characters or something?
Maybe.
No, I think it was legit, like, story by or something like that. But anyway, he did not direct, and that movie was pure garbage, which, you know, we won't really dwell on because it makes me sad. So, but he is returning for the next installment, which I believe is untitled, though I'm sure it'll have Jurassic World in the title.
Right.
But as a little prelude, you could say. They created this little short movie, which has Andre Holland and I don't remember the lady's name, who stars in it, but actual, actors you would see and stuff. It's a little short movie. It's I guess if you were to describe the plot, they're this people at the campsite and dinosaurs show up.
Mm.
Shocker.
Ooh.
Yeah, wasn't expecting that.
So this takes place after the second one.
Yeah, clearly.
Right.
Clearly. Because
not entirely sure if it's... I don't think it's immediately. I think it's...
It seems like they... Because when the... I'm going to call them Torosaurs. No, screw that. They're Triceratops.
No, they are Triceratops, right.
Because Torosaur doesn't exist anymore. Right. So the Triceratops... they're just kind of like show up and everyone's like, oh, look at that. Like, now if this was like actually, like in the like right after it happens, people would be freaking out. I know I would be like, there's a dinosaur in my camp.
Yeah, this seems like it's moderately after Jurassic World, where it's like people have gotten used to the idea that there's dinosaurs out here,
right.
But they don't know how to interact with them yet.
Right.
Yeah, like definitely an interval, probably somewhere between maybe less than a year or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like
yeah, I would
that.
Say, yeah, I would say that. Because let's be honest, if I knew there were like allosauruses out there in the middle of the California wilderness, I wouldn't be RVing.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
Strange choice. It does sound like they weren't expecting them to be there, which, I mean, okay. But, you know, you would think you would just kind of chill out on the camping until they get the whole dinosaur thing figured out.
Yeah, right. Also, like, they mentioned, like, rangers, so I'm assuming this isn't some kind of reserve.
Mm.
Like, you think they would just be like, you know what, this is not a natural species, it's an invasive species, and it's probably going to be killing off a lot of the native species. You think they would kill the allosaurus.
Yeah.
Also, it's a dinosaur. You know.
Yeah. Seems like an odd choice to be like, well, I guess we have to live with them now. It's not like the Mosasaur where like you have to drop like depth charges on it. I'm pretty sure you could find an Allosaurus out in the wilderness.
Yeah. Although that was, to be fair, like as crazy as it is to make it seem like, well, why wouldn't they just shoot him? Assuming, one, they could, or it was easy to do, which I don't know why it wouldn't be. It's a giant dinosaur.
Yeah.
And there's not like there's like 20 of them, but there's not like 200 of them. Like, it's, you know,
right.
You should be able to figure this out.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of them that they released.
Right. But if you do remember, the whole big component of the second movie was them trying to preserve the dinosaurs and, you know, save them and not, you know, get it. Well, I guess, no, they literally wanted to rescue them, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the plan was to release them out into the wild. And no. Just this whole thing has just reminded me how dumb that clone was.
Right.
It's like, I'm one of them. I must let them live. And it's like, bitch, we could clone more.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Well, all right. So basically, what I found the most affecting part of this was the credits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which actually introduced them like, oh, hey, yeah, just dinosaurs are around now.
Yeah.
like we've really gone full we're back.
It was pretty cool. Like, you had the little girl running away from the Compsognathuses. You had the great white eating the seal but then getting eaten by the Mosasaur.
And, like, my reaction to that was like, hey, that's an endangered species.
And then you had the wedding where they released the doves, and then the pteranodon came down and ate one of the doves, which is pretty cool. And then the guy driving, and then the stegosaurus in the middle of the road, and he goes off-roading.
I also like felt like some of those felt like attack ads at dinosaurs. Whereas, like,
what do you mean?
Well, like, especially the stegosaurus, and like, it wasn't like a guy was like, oh no, a stegosaurus. Like, no, that stegosaurus straight up killed that guy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and, like, he goes over the cliff, and you're like, oh wait, is this a snuff film?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, so, all in all, though, are you happy with this film?
I mean, alright. What always appealed to me, the part of Jurassic Park that appealed to me was the sort of scale of it all, like, you know, having a park, and then, you know, like in the Lost World, it's like all the guys in the cars trying to track them down and shit.
Yeah,
like that stuff I always thought was like really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously dinosaurs in themselves are just really cool, but like the horror stuff is like effective, but like like
it's like a secondary thing to the rest of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's a secondary thing. And that's pretty much all this was. So like the appeal wasn't like, oh, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And even like we've even seen this before pretty much, right? Yeah.
In Lost World.
Yeah, like Lost World.
And like every Jurassic Park movie.
Jurassic Park 3 had a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Where the thing's just coming through, and so Yeah, I mean,
plus it like this whole thing, it feels like we've completely abandoned the running theme of Jurassic Park, which was just because we can do it doesn't mean we should.
It also completely abandoned the theme of Jurassic World, which was like consumerism or whatnot is bad because they have to make bigger and better dinosaurs to appeal to people.
Right. Yeah, that was actually that was like the first interesting thing like the series has had since the first movie, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. And then they just are like, nah.
But one thing I have to say about this is it feels like they're like setting up the next movie, and that right. The theme of the next movie will be like, how are humans going to live with dinosaurs?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Which, to be honest, I'm kind of okay with, because it's like, we can't just keep making Jurassic Park and Lost World over and and over again, which is what we got from Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
Right. Although Fallen Kingdom, yeah, I would say it's...
Fallen Kingdom started off as Jurassic
World.
It
even
ended.
Right.
Because, like, think about how Lost World ends in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, with the T-Rex going.
Like, all going around through the streets of San Diego. Like, it's the same thing.
Which, like, thinking back, I'm like, am I correct in thinking, like, that was actually a pretty awesome scene, right?
With the T-Rex?
T-Rex in San Diego.
Oh,
yeah. Right. Okay.
Oh, that was dope, dude. All
right. Because I'm like, okay, I don't know if I was just eight or...
No, it was awesome.
Like, that was an actual awesome scene.
Yeah, no, it was
and then,
really
like,
cool.
Just getting freaked out about a boat, like
like
it's just like keeps like approaching and
That movie had its problems, but like it had also just really good.
Yeah, there were a lot of good parts. I mean, it was no Jurassic World 3 or Fallen Kingdom.
Jurassic Park 3.
Sorry, I said world, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Well, I'm jumping the gun. I'm saying it's gonna suck.
let me put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
They got me back. I'll go see the next one in theaters. Because I feel like it's just going to be... So, the interviews that I guess Colin Trevorrow's done is he's described it, you know, the first, you know, Jurassic World's kind of an action-adventure movie. The second one's more of a...
Shitstorm.
It said something in horror. I forget what the other part of it was, but like... You know, like a horror movie. And I buy that. I don't think it worked, but I buy, you know,
yeah,
it did have a different kind of feel.
Indoraptor's
sure.
kind of creepy.
Yeah.
A bit.
And then he described the third one's going to be more of a thriller, which, I don't know, sometimes people call things thriller and it's kind of a lazy, it's just like, oh, it's exciting, like, you know.
Yeah. It's exciting and maybe we have a mystery.
Right. So... I don't know. I'm vaguely interested to see. I'll, you know, listen. We just won't talk about the fifth one, okay? I'll come back, but like we're not going back there, okay?
Like I've watched some bad movies, and like I still have not seen Fallen Kingdom because like
it's not good.
No, like I'm afraid to. I really am. Like,
if you're ever like, you know, I need to get angry.
Yeah.
Watch that movie.
Just from like what I've heard from you guys and other people, I'm just like, I don't want to see this movie because it's just going to anger me to no end.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's like seeing a loved one at the last stages of life. It's like, I don't want to remember them that way.
Yeah.
So
I want to remember the good time. San Diego T-Rex.
Right. San Diego T-Rex. The gas station ball like rolling down the street and eating a guy in front of a Blockbuster, the good times.
Yeah.
Well, let's segue from that because I postulated what I thought was an interesting question.
Okay.
Which is, do we enjoy this as a thing for franchises to do now? Where like in between the big movies, they may release little short films about like the world.
I will start off by answering that question with Marvel already did that.
Yeah, they had the one shots. Yeah. They don't really do that anymore, though.
No, they don't. They stopped doing it after All Hail the King. Which,
what were, for people who aren't familiar,
so the one shots,
like myself.
Yeah, so the one shots, so what they did was, for the Blu-ray releases for the first, not really the Iron Man, but I forget which one it starts at, but there's like
Isn't
seven.
Isn't it like Thor? Because it was like...
yeah, it might have been Thor.
Or no, it was, might have been Incredible Hulk. Oh. Or, but the first one I remember is like, was it A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Hammer?
Yes, yeah. So it's just a bunch of like short 5 to 10 minute short films taking place in the MCU.
Seemingly all revolving around Coulson.
Yeah, pretty much, because, you know, Clark Gregg had plenty of time to do stuff till the Avengers happened. But yeah, like, it's just like... not silly things, but like different things that you see like outside of the movies, like stuff happening. And like I said, the last one, so for everyone who remembers Iron Man 3 and Trevor Slattery and how that pissed off a lot of people, him being the Mandarin but actually not being the Mandarin, what All Hail the King actually is it's a short that follows his time in prison. And kind of them alluding to the fact that the Mandarin and the leader of the Ten Rings actually might exist, but now we know he does, and he's going to be in a movie in like 2 years. But at the time, that was kind of like a nice like tap on the shoulder to the fans, like, don't worry, we got you.
That's also really like the only one though that like kind of expands on the universe.
Yeah,
the other ones are just like funny little bits.
Yeah, they're short and quick. And
they're not like this battle at Big Rock or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, it kind of fleshes out the universe a bit more. Kind of shows you, oh yeah, humans are interacting with the dinosaurs now.
Mm-hmm. So
does that Thor one from before Ragnarok, does that count?
I guess, yeah,
they didn't call that a one shot.
No, but it's kind of, yeah, along the same lines. So yeah, but yeah, I'm like I said, Marvel's done them. Kind of is the only example I can think of off the top of my head. But yes, I'm 100% behind these kind of movies. Just because it's interesting. It doesn't have to be the director of the movie doing a short film. It can be other directors. Because I know it's got to be like 15 years ago. I forget what the director's name was, but he came up with this idea where he's like, what if Quentin Tarantino did a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie? Kind of like that kind of question. Like, what if we get these iconic directors to do something that they want to do kind of outside of their wheelhouse? And this project, they did do a few things. One was, there was a Punisher. It was Punisher was Dirty Laundry was the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Which had Thomas Jane in it.
Right.
And it's like, you know, before the Punisher TV show and Punisher appearing on Daredevil, like, this was the closest thing to the Punisher that we've ever gotten. Which was nice because, you know, Thomas Jane loved the character. It's just the movie he was in with John Travolta, which could be a segue, but we'll get back to that. But that movie kind of sucked, and then they decided to reboot it with Punisher Warzone, and that was just atrocious. So it was like kind of nice seeing this like short snippet following, you know, a street level superhero with no like super powers doing this. And they also did a Power Rangers, like a gritty Power Rangers movie with James Vanderbeek is in it. He plays the Green Ranger or the Red Ranger. I forget which one. But yeah, like that one's pretty good too. Those are the like main two that I remember from this project, but it kind of went quiet. So like, I'm okay with those kind of movies too, because they're, you know, short 15 or less minute films. And it gives you a different side of the universe or the topic or whatever. Just gives you a better, like a different viewpoint of this thing. And I think that should always be looked at, and like, we should always be welcoming something like that.
Well, is there any specific franchises you can think of where you're like, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing little snippets from that more?
John, do you have any ideas?
Well, you know, going back to this one, I think this was actually very effective because, as I mentioned earlier, I wasn't going to see the next movie, and now I kind of want to. Mm-hmm. So it almost does more than a trailer might. Or I don't know, maybe if I saw the trailer and it had some of that stuff, I'd be just as intrigued. But I don't know, do I need a Star Wars one? Like, I would take it, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, do I want to see that in 8-minute clips, or do I want to see, like, I don't know. I guess I feel like we've had stuff in the past where, like, say, like, a Rogue One, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember, why do I know his name? Cassian, the guy who's, was it Diego Luna?
Yeah.
Because he's like a spy and shit. And I guess they're sort of doing this because he's going to have a Disney Plus show. But, like, it'd be cool to see, like, what happened, like, 5 minutes before the movie or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, what happens before he gets to the plot point.
Yeah. No, that kind of stuff is always interesting. The first thing that came to mind, which I would have liked, which you could have totally done and saved the studio like millions of dollars. This style would have been perfect for Suicide Squad. Cause like you literally, what, you introduce, like,
do like little short introductory movies, like, yeah, little short movies for each,
for
character?
Each character, instead of spending 3/4 of the movie introducing a character 3 times.
I mean, in fairness, you can't expect the audience to watch all of those and then be like, right, you have to watch those in order for this to be a good movie.
I mean, there's a way to introduce a character, though, without having to introduce the character three
times. It's a good way to flesh out the character, yeah, but you still need, you know, a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, in a perfect world, these should be independent of the movies.
Right. Well, that's why, like, so to stick with Suicide Squad, all the stuff with Harley Quinn and Joker, that could have been a short movie.
Yeah, do something like that.
Because the Joker really has nothing to do with this movie. He doesn't really, right, there's no driving point for the Joker. Like, there's really nothing there for this character.
He's there because they were like, we should put Joker in this movie.
So if they did a Harley Quinn Joker-esque short, maybe 15, 20 minute short as a prelude to this, first of all, everybody who knows Harley Quinn is going to watch it. Everyone who knows the Joker is going to watch it. So right there, you got a lot of fans. But like, even other characters, like, maybe do a quick backstory on, like, Killer Croc. Like, just a little something. Because, I mean, there's a bunch of, well, I shouldn't say there's a bunch. There's mainly Harley Quinn flashbacks. And then there's, like, Deadshot's, like, one flashback where he's in the 70s. And he gets attacked by Batman.
But, Sean, it establishes he's actually a good person for killing all these innocent people for the mob.
Right? So,
you know what movie... Oh, sorry.
No. I was just driving home that point. Like, one of these kind of superhero movies where it's going to be a giant, like, conglomerate of, like, characters, like, in one movie.
They have
movie.
A word for that. Clusterfuck.
Sorry. Clusterfuck of characters, like, just to flesh out the characters a little bit more than the movie does. Because, I mean, like, Enchantress, like, what? Like, the movie didn't spend any time on her, but she's our villain, you know?
Right.
Stuff like that, you know? Captain Boomerang, he seems kind of interesting. Should we flesh him out? No.
Does he?
Like, carries around, like, that unicorn and stuff, and, like...
Which... felt like a cheap joke.
Right. I understand that.
I don't really need to go into his unicorn fetish.
But no, but there's a character there that can be fleshed out that, I mean, after reading the comics, I kind of really like Captain Boomerang. But like that movie, he's just so horribly underdone.
Like, I know we're getting a little off topic, but like, why wasn't Kite Man in that movie?
Right.
Yeah, dude.
You put Captain Boomerang in, but not Kite Man?
Well, I mean, I know Boomerang is part of the... he's actually more of a major character than Kite Man. Because he's also a Flash villain. Because I guess Flash is slower than a boomerang. I don't know. But I know he is a Flash villain, and he is part of the Suicide Squad. So, I mean, it's just... Yeah. These characters, I think they could have benefited from getting fleshed out a little bit more with little snippets.
So, you know what movie did do this? Was Prometheus, if you remember correctly. Oh my god, and this is supposed to be a 10-2023. Oh my god. Sorry. So, they did a bunch of little, like, short movies. Like, one of them was Peter Weyland, who is Guy Pearce in the movie, who's, you know, appears as very, very old. Mm-hmm. And is almost like, why do you have a real actor? Like, if you're gonna put him in all this makeup and shit? Like, this... I don't know. It seems like a weird choice for Guy Pearce. Well, he's in this TED Talk for like, just like I'm looking at it, it's like a 3-minute clip where he's talking about, you know, the future and all that shit. And he appears as a young man.
Okay.
Which actually, I guess, does sort of make sense now, because then the actual movie is like 40 or 60 or whatever years after this. So right. I guess that actually does make a little bit more sense in retrospect. But they had one of these. They had another one which was like a product video for David.
Okay.
Like an announcement video, sort of. And then I think there was one other one that was with the Naomi, whatever her name is.
The
main character. Yeah. And it was some like broadcast or something like that. And I think these are all like cookies, or you had to like solve a puzzle or some stupid shit like that.
Okay.
To see it. But this was kind of cool, because an alien is like the perfect kind of, you know, the world where we know some but not really much.
Yeah, that world could be fleshed out a lot. Yeah. So.
I'm surprised has just nobody thought of the Alien TV show? Doesn't that seem like a layup, dude?
Yeah, you think, like, we would have seen, like, one attempt.
Mm.
I mean,
we think it's maybe, like, does, like, Ridley Scott really... Does he own that shit? Maybe he just wants to like keep it for himself or whatever.
I mean, they
keep...
made Alien versus Predator both times.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like if you're going with a TV show, I would have. I mean, it's got to be HBO or like Netflix, somewhere where it's got money behind it. I mean, obviously now that would be Disney, but I would love to see a true Alien versus Predator movie with like Colonial Marines. Like caught in the middle,
but
kind of
like
thing.
Not that game though. Right.
Well, yeah, not that game, but like there are some good Alien versus Predator games out there, and like comics and stories and stuff. Like that would be like an interesting thing. Like, you know, a colony comes down, maybe there's xenomorphs, maybe predators are there.
My only thing with Alien versus Predator is that, like, why? Like, why those two? Why do they have to be together?
Well, because
I don't see how like they complement each other.
I love
how
you're looking at the Alien versus Predator Requiem.
By the way, there is an answer to where's the Alien show, and it's incredible because there's apparently not one but two shows being developed.
Oh boy.
So I guess people have been way ahead of us on this. And all like right. Now I actually kind of vaguely remember hearing about this, but I guess Hulu is one of the places that all they're right. trying to do it at.
Cuz honestly, like, the thing with the first two Alien movies is humans are colonizing and then there's an alien here kind of thing. Like that's just like what's happened so far. And then, like, the other ones just kind of ignore that altogether. And, like, I'd rather go back to the, hey, we're establishing a colony, and then, oh, there's aliens!
I mean, it'd be nice if... I haven't seen the recent movie, but, like...
You don't.
But, like, the whole... like, what made the first Alien movie great was that it was just, like, a straight horror movie.
Right.
All the other ones, they've... turned more into action movies, especially right. Alien vs. Predator, which is one of the things where I'm like, why do they have to be with each other? Because Predator is an action...
It's an action horror? It is considered horror, I guess.
But, like, it's more, an action movie.
It's heavier on the... I mean, look at all the people in the first one. Yeah. And tell me that's not an action movie.
And Prometheus is very much, like, a sci-fi movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, like, goes to horror at the very end.
Right.
You know, but it's more like, oh, can we talk to God? Do we want to meet our creators sort of thing, you know?
And then the sequel is just like, and they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, let's expand on this. No. Okay.
Okay.
That make my brain hurt. I want to see Elliot eat people.
Yeah. So, to go base back to that previous point about like what you, John, you were talking about with Prometheus. Along those lines, when Cloverfield first came out.
Oh, right, yeah.
There was a huge thing, like, online, like, showing, you know, different things, like, I guess in the wake of this creature. Like, whales washed up on the shore, ripped to shreds kind of thing. Like, what's doing this? And it's, like, all this, the, like, text is redacted, like, black letter, like, you know, blacked out and stuff. Like, so it was a huge puzzle to try figuring out what was going on up until the movie dropped, which I think... is probably, I seriously, like, say what you will about the first Cloverfield movie, like, the promotions for that movie were spot on phenomenal, because, like, I knew nothing going into that movie and I needed to see this movie. I don't think there's been a movie I know nothing about, but I had to see it more than I've ever felt with Cloverfield.
You know, Cloverfield, just like the actual series, would have worked better just as short films.
Yes. Although, I'm okay with the first film, and then three quarters of the second film.
I feel like the first film could have been, like, a 15-minute long movie, and it would have had the same impact.
But it was unique.
Wait, are you... What? See, I... When you said second film,
yeah,
it took me so long to figure out what you were talking
about.
Yeah,
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Right, because they're not... Yeah. I don't know. The Cloverfield thing is...
It's insane. Like,
that's to say the least.
The end of 10 Cloverfield Lane... basically made me be like, wait, what? Like, how'd this tie into Cloverfield? I thought it was just a monster. Now it's an alien invasion. Like, what the hell's going on? So
maybe they need to release those for Cloverfield just to explain what the hell's going on, because the movies aren't.
Yeah. At least, yeah. No, I agree. No, the first one's fine. I think the first one, keep it as it is. I really liked 10 Cloverfield Lane for, like, what it was. It's just, the ending was just, like, confusing. Like, I liked it, but then I was like, but why is it an alien? Like, why call it Cloverfield at that point? Just, it's something else. Like, why, there's no giant monster. Like, Clover's not here. What's the point of saying, oh, but they tie together? Like, no, they don't.
Because J.J. Abrams had a script.
Yeah, just he's up there crying for the executives taking his shirt off. Yes, yes.
That's why he gets so many movies, man.
The J.J. Abrams strip.
Harvey Weinstein
I'm
didn't
a bad
produce these,
robot.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, so, like, yeah, I feel like we're all on the same page with, yes, we want more of these.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, like, these things.
Yeah,
I mean, listen,
a lot of these productions are so big and there's so much riding on them that, and, you know, we're in this sort of, like, trailer industrial complex for, between, like, Reddit and, you know, all these movie sites that we're just, like, awash in trailers.
Mm.
And I love a good trailer. I'll never stop loving a good trailer. But doing something like this does kind of make you stand out.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
And, you know, you kind of get to feel things out a little bit, too. Like, you know, you kind of make a little warm-up movie before you're trying to do the real thing, you know? So
yeah. A little foreplay.
Be interesting to see if they do a little bit more. They also, this really doesn't count, but there was, I guess, in the prelude to... Fallen Kingdom, they had a VR experience. which, as someone who recently bought a VR headset, I took it for a test drive. Yeah, and it's pretty much you just see a raptor. Yeah.
Would it have been cool if the VR experience that they dropped was like the bubble ride?
Yeah, that would have been sick.
Yeah.
Mm.
That would have been. This was actually, it wasn't like a game or anything. It was just a movie. Right, but you watch it in 3D.
Just imagine like watching that movie in 3D, but it's the bubble ride. Like, oh, look, there's some dinosaurs there. Hey, look, some more.
We know you guys like dinosaurs. That would have
actually been really cool.
Because, like, I think it was when The Force Awakens dropped, they did the flight along Jakku, and you could VR that. So, like, you're skimming across the sands of Jakku, and like, oh, look, there's a Star Destroyer, and you can look at the Star Destroyer as you're, like, driving through it and stuff. So it was pretty cool. I remember, like, being on Facebook at work being like, this is so cool. And then that stuff disappeared. I don't know why. But, yeah, I mean, I'm all for creative promotions like that. I think they like you said, John, they make your product stand out
compared to the others. Yeah, and you really need to start standing out from the noise at this point.
Yeah, trailers are... I mean, the fact that we have teaser trailers and regular trailers and TV trailers and cinematic trailers and like...
Right.
I miss when a trailer was just a trailer.
I keep telling you, I don't think there was ever really a part in time where that was the case when... You know, trailers are like that, other than the Miracle on 34th Street trailer. But
we need more of those. Which, if you think about it, is a short film promoting that movie.
Exactly.
It expands the...
Rex Harrison's in it. It's a real Madden's picture.
There's Madden's a lot of people in it.
It's just the best line from that. So if you have no idea what we're talking about, go on YouTube and look up Miracle on 34th Street.
It's like 10 minutes long.
It's like 10 minutes.
And listen, if it's under 5 minutes long, it's not what we're talking about. Because there is like a trailer that looks like it would be a trailer. And I mean, it was, but it's like a minute and a half long. No, this is like 5 minutes at least.
Yeah, I think it's like 7 minutes long, maybe a little more. But yeah, it's a long trailer, and it is definitely worth the watch. I made my boss watch it at work one day, and I don't think he regrets it.
Can you just like imagine though, like just being like in the theater before something else, which I guess they actually used to stick around after, like they were called trailers because it was after the movie,
right?
Because people, you know, just had nothing else to do, so they would just hang. But can you just imagine though, like. I'm just sitting there, and, like, watching a 7-minute trailer. Be like, when is my goddamn movie gonna stop?
Like, do that, like, now. Because, like, back then, they would have, like, shorts before.
Yeah, they'd have, like, play cartoons and stuff beforehand.
Yeah, but, like, do that now.
Yeah. I mean, we have that stupid screen vision thing going on.
Yeah.
So like I would gladly accept a 7-minute trailer that had like something to do with a movie that I wasn't interested in, but like something was happening. I'm fine with it. Like,
you know what they also don't do enough anymore? They don't have the directors in the trailers explaining to you what the movie is instead of telling you, instead of showing. They should do that more.
Like Hitchcock for Psycho?
Yeah. Like Christopher Nolan should like introduce the next movie, you know, be like, hello.
Oh man. Well, speaking of trailers, we got two that we're actually going to talk about.
All right.
We'll start with this one because John Travolta was already brought up. So we're going to talk about The Fanatic,
which is already out, and
it is already out.
We're a little late on this one.
Are we late? No, I've known about this since before it came out. When the production photos, when the production photos were coming out about this, I saw it because we were making fun of John Travolta at work because there's a picture of him with the weirdest soul patch ever, and so we were like making fun of him for that. And then I came across his character from this movie named Moose, and my God, that opened the floodgates. And so, yeah, the trailer came out, I think, like a month ago, but like we've been kind of full on stuff to talk about. So I really wanted to talk about this movie, not just because John Travolta looks really weird with this like super short bowl cut, but the fact that it's directed by Fred Durst.
Oh, really? Yes. I totally missed that.
Yes, this is a Fred Durst
film. I believe his contract said he did this movie for the Nookie.
Oh, God.
And that will be the only Limp Bizkit reference I make, because that's the only Limp Bizkit reference I know. So, all right. Glad I got that out of the way.
All right, and done. Yeah, so this is actually based off of a stalker Fred Durst had while he was performing with Limp Bizkit back in the day. So it's based on true events, sort of. But obviously, it definitely takes a dive there at the end. The trailer, it's just like, I have no idea, like, what, like, I understand what's going on, but like, why?
And like, I just can't get past Travolta.
Yeah, Travolta, like,
everything that happens, he has such a weird goddamn look.
Yeah,
like, it's incredible.
Yes,
and his performance, he's like, you know, I think I'm gonna go for the most offensive performance of an autistic person I can think of.
Yeah,
you know, it's like if you took Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder and put him in a movie where you're trying to play it straight. That's pretty much what this is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's got... No, he doesn't have a bowl cut.
It looks like a super short bowl cut, but it's like shaved, but it's just, like, the top of his head. But it's, right. Kind of long, but, like, not
he's
too
long.
He's
got, like, a Hawaiian shirt, and he's, like...
Those, like, cargo shorts.
Yeah. Man, it's weird. Not looking at Fred Durst's IMDb, not his directorial debut.
It is not. I think, what is it, his third movie?
Yeah, so he's directed Long Shots, which sounds vaguely familiar, and has Ice Cube. Oh, no, sorry. Ice Cube. And then this other thing, The Education of Charlie Banks, which has, Jesse Eisenberg in it. Mm-hmm. So. Not, you know, I mean, listen, this other thing is effectively a straight to DVD, VOD, whatever you want to call it these days, movie, which, man, Travolta really, he's really racking up the numbers himself. I think I'm looking at his credits. This is the third movie in 2019 he's been in, and two last year. So, he's starting to, he's very much in like the Cage space.
Hey, I mean, he's working.
Yeah, no. The other reason why I bring this up is, like you said, John, reviews are starting to come out, because it is actually out right now. We can watch it. And I do plan on watching it. I just wanted to talk about it first, mainly because it sounds like a vast majority of the reviews that I kind of trust are, this is the next The Room. Where,
ooh, could be.
Yeah, where it's so, like, horridly bad, it's amazing. And I'm hoping for that, because I love me a movie that's just so bad it's good.
See, to me, this looks boring bad, where it's just like...
I don't know, like...
It's competently made enough where it's like, oh, they took the cap off the lens and stuff, and... They knew what lighting was.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took the sound mic out of the box and stuff. Where it's just like, there's not much to, like, sort of be like, oh, they think they're people. To get that kind of enjoyment out of it. Where it's just like, it's just a bad story. Directed poorly. Acted poorly. And it exists.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's gotten that kind of positive review where it's just so bad it's good.
Whereas, like, with The Room, you're constantly sitting there like, how did this get made?
Right. Well, the room is kind of like a, but like
it's a special circumstance.
Yeah, it's a special circumstance. This is along those lines, though, where like Birdemic, where it's like, who sat down and thought these bird effects were good?
Yeah, man.
Like, come on.
Hopefully we can give a review at some point, but at the moment it requires us to actually pay for this steaming pile of garbage. So right.
Fred Durst needs to make some kind of money off of it. So
right.
Doesn't he stream?
I'm sure at some point it'll be somewhere.
I say it's on YouTube to buy. I know that much.
I mean, I think it's only like $2 to rent, but like, you know, even then that's,
that's $2 I'll never get back.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not seeing that $2 again.
So are we all in agreement? We will eventually check this movie out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it looks horrible. But like
a day I want to, you know, self hurt. I mean,
maybe if it's like a snowstorm or something outside, and you're like,
sure,
hey, why not?
And like, and TV being on is the only warmth you could have. You're like, we have to watch something, and this is the only thing available.
We need to watch a John Travolta movie.
Yes.
Oh, crap.
From the past 2 years.
Not Gotti, not Gotti. The Fanatic. Somehow that's worse.
But, like, the thing about this movie also is that, like, it's trying really hard to pretend like the fan doesn't exist. That movie doesn't exist.
Yeah, this movie's already been made, really.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They even,
isn't it Big Fan? The one with Patton Oswalt, right?
No.
Are you thinking Misery?
No, what I'm thinking is the fan with, was it Wesley Snipes and De Niro? It was in the early 90s where it's like Wesley Snipes is this like star ball player and De Niro is a big fan and he starts stalking him.
Oh, okay.
It's like the exact same story.
I've never heard of this.
I've heard of the movie. I've just never watched.
Movie? Wow. John Leguizamo. Benicio del Toro.
Wow.
I don't believe it's a bad movie. I hear... I've heard some things.
I'm excited to watch The Fanatic. Whenever that is. Hopefully soon.
32 Metascore.
Ooh.
5.9 on IMDb.
That's good. I'm feeling good about this one.
Hey, man, if you wanna have some, you know, wings, get some spicy wings, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on to our second trailer. This one actually hits home in a way. Netflix has a new show coming out.
Which is a true statement at any moment.
Right, that's true. This one is actually kind of in our wheelhouse because it's, you know, a post-apocalyptic show. But it's called Daybreak, which it's like, it's a high school zombie apocalypse movie.
Post-apocalypse, like Mad Max-y kind of vibes.
With Matthew Broderick. So it's like, that's not a name you'd see attached to a zombie apocalypse movie.
Yeah.
Or like most movies these days.
Right.
Or
doesn't
TV
have
show.
A lot of big names.
But it has one for us.
Former podcast guest.
Yeah. He was on our 100th episode. I believe that was the last time he's been on. But yes, Rob Roy, our former guest and fan of the show. You've previously seen him in such things as Slim Jim's commercial. He is apparently in, I believe, 2 episodes of this show. He actually made it into the trailer. If you watch the trailer, you see the main character get tripped and like people are laughing at him. He's the guy in the Letterman jacket that is laughing at him.
So Do we think our guy is going to make it? I don't think he's going
to
make it.
No, I'm very tempted to like have him on and ask him if he dies.
I can tell you for a fact, like, lock it in, this guy dies.
Yes, Rob Roy. But does he have a death scene?
Oh, he's got...
Or is he killed off camera?
It depends on how he trips him and who he's tripping.
Well, he's tripping the main character.
Yeah, which lends me to believe, like, ooh, we probably will get a death scene.
Yeah. I don't know. Have we, John, have you been on the IMDb page yet for this, this
no.
TV show?
So it's funny because obviously we've known about this for a little bit and, you know, looked it up on IMDb and whatnot. It's funny because the description for a while, I don't think really mentioned the whole apocalyptic part of it.
It did not.
Like, I think it was like, you know, it was like a teen high school drama kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's literally what I thought it was. And then when I watched this trailer, I was like, oh, it's a post-apocalyptic thing. Oh, Rob Roy is actually, first of all, he changed his name on IMDb. He's Rob H. Roy. And he plays Jaden Hoyles, and he's in 6 episodes out of 10 episodes. So he's actually
spoiler alert.
Good chunk of this this show. So I don't know. We'll see if he has a death scene. I'm a little excited. I kind of, when this show comes on, I'm very tempted to see if Rob will come on and discuss this show with us.
They really, oh yeah, we should. That actually would be a good idea. Like, that's a real thing actual shows do.
Yeah, we actually have an in on this show.
We actually know a guy on this show.
We actually have to watch all of it now because I have to, like, we have to ask him about it.
Exactly. So we might actually have our first professional interview on here.
Wow.
So, yeah, which means, John, you got to be in here in person.
I know. Shit. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, now that I know he has a bigger role, I'm even more excited for this show.
Yeah.
This is when is this dropping? This is October 24th. So it's a perfect. So it's a Halloween debut, pretty much.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So yeah, drama, fantasy, mystery.
What's not to like?
Exactly. I'm like looking at the, oh god, to give you an idea, Brad Peyton is the creator of this. He produced Rampage with The Rock.
It's nice.
He directed San Andreas with The Rock.
Nice.
He produced Frontier with Aquaman. So like,
which is a Netflix, right? I think.
Yes, that is a Netflix.
Did any of you guys check that out?
I never did.
No.
He directed Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, with The Rock. How is The Rock not in this movie?
Seriously.
He's got so many ties.
Well, you
the
know,
Rock.
I will say this. Say, it's like Matthew Broderick and literally no one else you've ever heard of,
right,
besides the one I went to high school with.
Robert H. Roy.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm really excited for this show now. I just like watching the trailer. I'm like, where's Rob? Where is he? Oh, there he is. He tripped the kid. Where is he? Where? And like for the rest of the time, I think he was like in the background of another shot, but like I couldn't see.
Yeah.
Him.
So tough to know. Yeah. A lot of very much like a Warriors kind of vibe where everyone's in
or Mad
very
Max
distinct costumes.
Yep.
So, listen, I'm going to be real with you. Is it a show I would have checked out before? Probably not. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not who knows. We'll talk.
No, we have to talk about this now.
All right. There wasn't anything else you want to talk about, right?
Well, John, you beforehand were getting a little hot and heavy on streaming services.
And
I know this is us beating a dead horse, but
yeah.
I once again, like, I feel like every week somebody new comes out with a streaming service. And
right. So this week it was NBC was the big news, and they're going to be like $15 a month or something like that for ad. And they're going to have ads like Hulu. They're calling it Peacock, which is actually like better than like NBC Now or like NBC All Access or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
At least it's like seemingly a different thing. But there's a part of this whole thing that's just astounding to me that like they're going to do these things. Oh, and you know, some other big news, you know, like Seinfeld is going to Netflix in 2021, so make sure you don't die before that.
I mean, if you can't wait, it's already on Hulu now.
Right.
So,
but Big Bang Theory is going to be on HBO Max, and you know, it's just funny that all these things are like, it's like putting together a baseball team, you know.
Yeah.
But what I guess is curious to me, or just like, I just don't get it after a certain point. Like, how does this still make sense? Is not only do we now have all these new services out there, and I mean, we're pretty much at a point where there's now going to be about 10 mainstream services that are all going to be competing for eyeballs. And not only are they going to have the greatest hits, they're going to have all the great content and shows that, you know, whether they're like, you know, sitcoms of the past or like your prestige shows or whatever, they're going to have, you know, platform exclusive content. But then, like NBC still has NBC, you know, the network. They still have USA and Bravo and all that shit, and they still have to fill all that. And I'm just like, who's going to be watching all this? It just scrambles my mind thinking of, like, there's all these shows. And, you know, listen, the more shows you make, the more good shows there's going to be. But it's not going to be, like, proportional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a lot of crap out there.
Yeah, you get bigger chances of, like, diamonds in the rough, or, like, movies where it's, like, TV shows where it's, like, it would never get made in a normal circumstance, but because they need to take a chance, they took a chance on this, and we got something unique and different, but we're going to get, like, 100 just shitty shows.
Right. Like, to use your analogy, Sam, there's going to be more diamonds, but there's going to be a shitload more rough.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, you know, we had Apple coming out the prior week announcing their platform, which is just going to be $6, which, hey, is really cheap, but nothing's really on it.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be just a handful of shows. You do get it for free if you buy an iPhone, which a lot of people just do anyway. You know, I don't understand how long term any of this makes financial sense, especially, like I said, when you're still giving away all this other stuff through cable, you know?
Yeah. Something's got to give here.
Right. And I think maybe things will crystallize a bit more, because I think part of NBC is that a lot of shows like Parks and Recs and The Office and Frasier and other shows like that, they're not going to re-up when Netflix comes around again, or Amazon Prime, or in some cases, if they're not Disney shows, on Hulu, probably. But I don't know. I actually, you know what, though? But I say that, but then Netflix spends probably an astonishing amount of money on Seinfeld just to get that, because they've got nothing else.
Yeah, they're losing everything.
Right. They're losing all their sort of, you know, Friends, The Office, all that shit.
Yeah.
So who knows? You know, we've talked about Netflix and the quality of the shows on there, and, you know, maybe it'll turn around, or maybe they'll get to a point where they have their base of, like, we don't need to make 1,000 shows. Let's just make, you know, 20 really good shows a year, which who knows if that's ever even really going to be something they do, because I think part of their logic is, like, we don't have to make shows that everybody likes, but if we make shows that, like, a very small portion of people, but a significant amount, you know, something they really love, they're always going to buy Netflix. So as long as we, like, as long as we serve, like, a tenth of the population with 10 different shows, then everybody will still buy Netflix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, the thing with Netflix too, and once again, we've talked about it, but I honestly think, John, you're thinking of the movies for Netflix, because there really have not been any good movies on Netflix. There have been plenty of, like, halfway decent shows.
There have been, but there's...
I would say there's been more good shows on Netflix than there have been good movies.
Oh, for sure. But, so, I mean, there's so many fucking shows. Oh, and, like, yeah. A lot of them are just not good.
Right. Yeah, it's like people will, like, I'll see random things for, like, a Netflix show and for, like, the third season. And I'm like, I have been on Netflix for the past 3 years. Mm. Why have I never seen this? Then again, you know, they only show me the stuff they think I'm interested in.
Right.
But.
Right. And of course, you know, listen, I say they're not good shows. If I had like four things I could watch and you gave me most Netflix shows, I'd probably be okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't. If this was like, what was it? Fahrenheit 451, where they just have three books. You know, if you gave me Daybreak as one of the shows, I'd probably be like, yeah, okay. Mm. This is the sci-fi fix. But
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. And I know, you know, we've talked about streaming a lot, but it's just, this is where the entire industry is going, and everybody's just rushing towards it with really no idea of like what even the goal is.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't understand how you make, you know, spend billions of dollars to produce content to get people to subscribe for $15 a month.
Yeah, it feels like a house of cards, and that at some point this is going to collapse. Now, in fairness to the industry, I don't think things are going to go back to the way they were.
No, but...
But...
I feel like, I have a bad feeling a lot of these networks are going to come crashing down.
Yeah, it's like they see what's coming.
Yeah.
And they're desperate to like avoid it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like they're making bad decisions.
Yeah. Like for like the fact that you can get an antenna and get these channels for free.
Yeah.
And they make their money off of commercials, not because people are paying for those channels. You know, NBC, CBS, help Fox, ABC, like that's how they make their money. It's not.
Although it should be noted, if you have a cable subscription, you are paying for those channels,
yes,
even
you
though
are.
You can get them for free.
Yes.
It's called a retransmission fee, and it's very fucked up.
Yes. But like the fact that these are free channels and they're, you know, local channels, and the fact that they're trying to charge you up to $15 a month. Just think, like, ABC, NBC, CBS, and we'll say Fox. So we'll say those four channels, all of which, like I said, are free. All of which charge you $15, we'll say $15 for their app. Right? That's $60 for four channels.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Now, not in fairness, but just making this point, this might, all these channels might, and this is a very strong might, drive down prices a bit when they're like, oh, we need to start competing against each other and getting people to subscribe.
It's
a might.
No, the prices will drop. I mean, the problem is Hulu and Netflix did it right, where the prices started off low just to test the water, see how much somebody would pay for this unique service. And both services have grown in popularity, and they have plenty of subscribers where they see the numbers going up and they say, you know what, we can bump this up another $2 a month. The problem is, like, CBS All Access, Peacock, like, do they really know what their numbers are going to be? No, they're all guessing. But the fact that it looks like they're all charging over $10 a month.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
That's a horrible sign. Give me something for like $4 a month. Something inexpensive.
At least for starter, as a teaser.
Yeah.
Like it should be like, I don't know, $100 a year. So what's that? Less than $10 a month?
Yeah.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, like something cheap where I could be like, well, I'm trying to cut the cord. So that makes sense if I subscribe to these channels, plus you get the backlog. That's
right.
That's very positive. But to say that you get the backlog and, like, you know, some unique shows and whatnot, like $15 a month, that's way too much. I mean, basically you could get like okay cable for like $40 a month.
And also it's like how much of your backlog do you think I really want?
Right.
Like, these channels might have one, maybe two shows where I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind rewatching that.
Yeah.
Everything else, I wouldn't give it two shits about.
Yeah. I feel like people watched Friends and The Office on Netflix so much because they were there. They were like an addition.
It's on Netflix and they have Netflix.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, I remember that. That was a good show. I'll rewatch it.
They don't have Netflix for those shows. They watch those shows because they have Netflix.
Right.
And so the fact that these shows are leaving and going to a new subscription that everyone has to sign up for, people aren't going to go, well, you know what? Screw Netflix because they don't have The Office anymore. And obviously, I only used Netflix to watch The Office, so I'm going to hop on that app so I can keep paying to watch The Office.
Yeah.
When you can, like, not many people have them anymore, but buy a DVD player and probably buy the entire series for like $70.
Yeah.
Like, it,
then
I
you
grant,
just have it,
yeah, right? Then you literally have it and you don't pay a monthly subscription. Yeah, you have to get up and change the disc every so often, but there's no commercials and it's just press play and no one asks if you're done or not. You can watch like four to
and
like
you could probably buy it in like your digital library too.
Yeah,
it's probably a little bit more expensive,
but
like
still
now I have it forever.
Yeah,
I guess what's just what's odd to me is like, okay, of all the streaming services out there right now, and I'm gonna say major ones, like, you know, there's been niche ones, like there was what the hell was it, Filmstruck, which is all like classic movies. Mm-hmm. There's been Shudder,
the horror one.
Right. Like, there's going to be niche ones, and I think they'll always have an audience, and as long as they kind of stay small, I think they'll, I don't know if they're profitable, God only knows, but, you know, you can see, like, a strategy there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Of all the major services that exist right now, not the, you know, five that are coming in the next year or so, what's the one least talked about by a country mile?
Like Amazon?
What about CBS All Access?
Oh, yeah.
And isn't this just CBS All Access again?
Yes.
Like, all the back, like the back catalog, maybe stuff that's on right now on, you know, linear TV, and then a couple like extra shows.
Yeah, they had Star Trek Discovery. I mean, Picard is going on it, which, I mean, that gives me some interest, but like, they had the Twilight Zone come on, you know, a few months ago, but that was bad. Like, it got horrible.
I mean, it got bad reviews. If Twilight Zone really had a lot of hype, I would at least go from not getting it to like getting the trial and seeing what's up.
Right. No, yeah.
But I'm not even at like, let's check out the trial. No. I don't want to use my trial on this.
I am happy that Twilight Zone or CBS All Access, they gave us that first episode on YouTube, but like,
they
I'm assuming they didn't even get their best one, like, to draw people in. And like,
that also doesn't make me feel very confident in CBS All Access, right, when they're like, please buy us.
Yeah. So like, all these stations are literally doing exactly that. And I mean, I don't have the numbers, but I'm assuming, I don't know anybody who has CBS All Access. I don't know.
Yeah,
anybody.
It's gonna be tough. I don't know how they're like, unless you're like, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to watch Survivor. Like, like really, like what's the, you know, what's the thought process for getting it? Unless you don't have any kind of cable or anything like that, and like, you do want to watch those shows, but you don't want to have a DVR or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it seems
maybe
it seems at the same time like you know, wide market, but also niche. You know,
I do find it a little concerning that I Google search CBS All Access, and the second thing that popped up under the suggested was CBS All Access cancel.
Oh. That's never a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bad. I'm just curious, like is it, like, how is it doing? Like, does it have plenty of subscribers, or like,
we'll probably never know.
Maybe.
I just feel like, too, it's just setting up into this economy where it's like, you know, you use Amazon Prime because you have it just normally, or maybe your parents have it. And then, like, you know, you get Hulu because it comes with your Spotify. You buy Netflix. You use your friend's HBO Go login. You know, like, and I don't know. Maybe they'll crack down on that to some extent, but I feel like it's always going to be on the table. You know, it's just, I don't know. I feel like people are going to be very unwilling to pay for like more than one or two of these, and the choices are everywhere, but no one's buying. So, on that note, so next week we're gonna check out Ad Astra. We're gonna try to see that.
Are you gonna check it out, Sean?
It's a movie.
Yes.
We'll see. What? Which one is that?
That's the new
Brad Pitt,
like
space.
Brad Pitt. Like it's a like kind of like a hard science fiction movie.
Okay. I gotta watch a trailer.
It's like his dad, who's Tommy Lee Jones, is like he went off into space and disappeared, but he was apparently up to something, and now something's going on, and it might involve his dad.
Okay, that sounds
and
tempting.
So he has to go find his dad.
All right. That is a little tempting now. The Tommy Lee Jones right there just makes me think this could be good.
Listen, last time Tommy Lee Jones went to space in the classic Space
Cowboys. He stayed there.
Right. You're right. He hasn't come back yet, and that's this movie.
So this is a
Please
sequel.
Tell me this is a tie-in to Space Cowboys.
Right. Isn't Donald Sutherland in this too?
Yeah, actually, yeah, he is. Because like, there's like a scene in a trailer where he's like talking to a bunch of other generals in like the boardroom, and I think it's Donald Sutherland talking to him.
Oh, man. Hey, Liv Tyler's in it, too, so maybe it's a tie-in with Armageddon.
It's a lot of things in play.
Yeah, Donald Sutherland is in it, yeah. Oh, man.
So there you go. We have half the Space Cowboys writing again.
Oh, man. All right. Well, on that note, if you like all our podcasts, you can find us on Podbean and Stitcher, iTunes. Leave us a review.
CBS All Access.
CBS All Access.
And the live show coming this September on...
like, there's enough streaming services. Somebody's got to pick us up, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, so anybody out there, we're taking some bids. Current bid is $1. All right. Well, we will see you all next time.
Bye.
Good night.
I mean, we're worth like four, right?